Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, July 20th, 2026. Hope you're all doing well as we kick off a brand new week. It's a beautiful day outside. Yankees have the Pirates in town tonight to begin a three-game set. And we'll break down that a little bit, but obviously we're going to recap the Dodgers series. Yankees did salvage the series finale thanks to Jazz Chisholm Jr. We're going to hear for some Jazz post-game sound, which is a very accountable post-game sound by which you guys know I'm a big fan of. But nonetheless, listen, we didn't get swept. Going into the weekend, would I be celebrating the idea of that? No, obviously not. And it was actually a very winnable series, particularly with game one on Friday. But we could have gotten swept. We went to last night, down 2-0 in the series. I'd rather take one of the three than none of the three. Yankees do indeed do that. The good news, although some are kind of concerned about this, I do understand why. The good news is that the Rays continue to lose. Now, it was at the hand of the Boston Red Sox, who have won, is it 13 straight or 14 straight, whatever it is, they are on a run. And this all stems back to when we got swept by them in Boston. They keep on winning. The Red Sox are above 500. They're now just 6 games back in the American League East of the Tampa Bay Rays. Thing is, though, the Yankees, while losing a series this weekend to the Dodgers, they actually gained ground in the American League East. They're just a game and a half back of first place. Let me double check on that to make sure. I'm nearly positive that is what it is. Indeed, game and a half back. Yanks are 55 and 44. Rays 56 and 42. So if you're worried about the Red Sox, fair. Until further notice, I'm still just kind of tunnel vision on the Rays. We'll see the Red Sox again and deal with it then. But nonetheless, not a good weekend for the Yankees. Not all is lost. In fact, quite a massively important, obviously, 2 weeks begin here today. We're 2 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, exactly 2 weeks from today. So, this should be, I mean, this week, too, should be fun. Obviously, probably more so next week will trade start kicking into gear, but the rumor mill should be flying, and there's so many needs for this team that really go beyond probably just what we always kind of talked about, which is catcher and relievers. We'll talk particularly about the offense today, but the offense needs more than just the acquisition of another catcher who isn't Austin Wells and the return of Aaron Judge, which Aaron Judge is set to return this season. We'll maybe touch on that a little bit later on too. But anyways, let's get there by starting off with last night's game. I want to play the Jazz soundbite. Obviously, last night, Yanks, you thought they were going to blow it again. And by blow it again, I'm more so just being, you know, it's like they had a lead all series. Although they did on Friday. They did on Friday and then Boone left in Cole. Some people are pissed about that. We talked about it on Saturday's show. That didn't bother me really at all. He's your ace, yo. Like, you leave him in, and it backfired. A lot of times, they overmanage, as some would put it, and it backfires as well. Ultimately, at least that was a baseball thing. I can kind of get over it. The Grisham play, we've now covered at length. There's a new Yankees recap video out. I talked about it there. Talked about it on Saturday's show as well, where that was just an absurd base running mistake on both ends. Luis Rojas sending Trent Grisham, who got a terrible read rounding second base and was not going 100%, although he says he was. So they did blow a game on Friday. Well, last night they almost did it again, and fortunately Jazz Chisholm Jr. came through with a go-ahead solo shot in the eighth inning, puts the Yanks up in front 2-1. Bednar, big shout out to him, and really big shout out to the entire Yankee bullpen this series. I mean, listen, the pitching overall, I know Cam wasn't great, but you look at Cam, you look at Cole, you look at what the bullpen did. Outside of Jake Bird and Camilo Duvall, and yeah, I know Fernando Cruz with the good game tired of Tommy Edman, but at least Cruz, people get annoyed when I say he's earned that. I won't say Cruz has earned blowing a lead. And, you know, we just saw the Boston game where he imploded then like a few weeks ago. But at least Cruz, like, he doesn't bother me like Camilo Duvall does, because, you know, like, it bothers Fernando Cruz when he gives up the lead like that. And he's been great overall this season, an ERA in the low twos. Anyways, Yankee bullpen overall, pretty damn good. Brent Hedrick continues to be fantastic. Still going to harp on the fact that he should have been an all-star. ERA sits now below 1.5. Bednar has been nailed since the Subway Series. We've talked about that at length. That all has continued. Overall, the pitching staff in this series was pretty damn good. Offensively, though, there was a lot of issues. And Jazz, got to give credit where it's due. He has come through with a lot of clutch homers this season. And that was now his third home run in the eighth inning or later of the season to give his team the lead. That's individually tied for the most in baseball. Also, the Yankees have the Yankees now have 16 wins when tied or trailing in the eighth inning or later this season. That is the most in the American League. So, hey, whatever you want to do with that stat, fine. I do want to acknowledge that Jazz, well, I've been very critical of him, and I think rightfully so. His season has been poor, very poor. We'll hear him say that himself in a moment. I want Luis Arraez. I stand by that. You guys know how I feel. Credit where it's due. Jazz has been clutch. That was a big home run last night. And again, would you rather have gotten swept? Am I celebrating not getting swept? Well, yeah, because we could have gotten swept, and we didn't. So we win this final game. Yankees salvage a series finale. Not the series. They don't salvage the series, but they do salvage the series finale. And again, the main thing here is that the Rays continue to lose. We'll keep our eyes on Boston. But game and a half back entering play Monday night. Anyways, I just want to play this quick soundbite from Jazz because he was asked about his season last night. And this is post-game after the go-ahead home run. But somebody asked, I think you'll hear the question in the clip, but basically like, how do you view your season to this point?
How would you describe your season prior to today?
It sucked. I sucked all season.
Why?
I mean, numbers speak for themselves.
I respect the accountability. Now, what exactly does that do for, you know, the plans going forward? Well, we don't know what the Yankees want to actually, how they want to go about second base. If Jazz is in their, not long-term plans past this season, we kind of know they're not going to re-sign him in all likelihood. But are they looking at an addition to second base? Are they looking at an addition to this lineup that isn't just acquiring a catcher, whether it's Ryan Jeffers, whoever? We've talked about the catcher thing a lot by now. We'll see what happens. We're pretty much there. Like, we'll find out over the next 2 weeks if they're going to get a catcher or not. The expectation is that they will. The expectation is they're going to add bullpen help. Will they add an infielder as well? And that kind of gets us to another question here, which is the title of this video, I believe, title of this episode, which is, are the Yankees going to acquire multiple bats this deadline? Because this offense might be to a point where, yeah, past just getting a catcher, past Aaron Judge returning, which, knock on wood, but that is what the Yankees expect to happen this season. Judge said, definitely, I will return this season. I think it'll probably be by Labor Day. But nonetheless, this offense, granted, when Judge returns, everybody else seemingly plays a lot better. And that makes sense. You know, Cody Bellinger, when Judge is in the lineup, performs a lot better. Bellinger had a couple hits last night. That was nice. And Goldschmidt, good game last night. That was good. Giancarlo Stanton, we'll see what the deal is. But let's just focus here on the fact of Judge, at some point, knock on wood, will be coming back. You think, for right now, the Yankees are going to acquire a catcher of some variety at the trade deadline. Does that really solve all the issues that we're looking at right here? And the answer to that is no, definitively, if Bellinger doesn't start to turn it around. If, I mean, listen, Jazz, big home run last night. But a clutch home run, as much as I appreciate that, a clutch home run every 2 weeks does not make up for what is a sub-700 OPS season. Jazz has been, we've talked about it at length. I don't want to harp on it for right now because he was good last night, big home run. But he's been abysmal this season. His OPS, forget just on the season, but you look at the batting average with runners in scoring position. You look at, we often talk about Jazz, some of the highs, a lot of the lows. It's not just him, though. I mean, Jazz, some awful at-bats for the most part in this series. Bellinger, a couple of, I mean, just forget the series. Just the last, since Judge has been out, besides the first three weeks, whatever it was, when the Yankees were playing all right without Judge, for about a month now, the guys that are supposed to produce are not producing. And what if, God forbid, that's the case when Judge does return, when the Yankees do acquire Ryan Jeffers? Like, or if there's another injury, let's say. Now, I doubt the Yankees are banking on the return of Giancarlo Stanton. Judge, you almost kind of have to bank on that he's going to come back. You know, like, you kind of have to bank on the fact of, like, we're not going to be struck by a meteor and the world is going to explode in 5 minutes. Like, if I'm going to operate under that assumption, like, all right, that changes things dramatically. I just have to assume that's not going to happen. Like, I have to assume, the Yankees have to assume, Judge is going to come back. And he says definitively he will. But his return, acquisition of Jeffers, whoever it may be, and hopefully it is Ryan Jeffers. I mean, there's a floor here at this deadline where they don't acquire a catcher of that hitting ilk, which Jeffers can sure as hell hit. Shay Langeliers interests me. Apparently he actually might be able to get acquired by somebody. Nonetheless, though, like, what if they get Kyle Higashioka? What if they get Jonah Heim from the A's? I mean, bottom line is, like, this offense needs help. And we can talk about the fact of Judge coming back, but nonetheless, like, that's a whiles away regardless. Like, I'm of the belief he'll be back at some point, I think by Labor Day. But even so, I mean, that's to a point where the division could already be lost by then. Who knows what the Red Sox are going to be up to at that point come early September or whenever. So for the regular season and the postseason, with everybody healthy, with everybody not healthy and not hitting, this team needs multiple bats is kind of where we're at. And that's where we enter the, at least from my side of things, Luis Arraez. I think he's just the better player than Jazz is right now. Whether it be simply as runners in scoring position, he performs better in that stat. His defense has not been an issue. In fact, he's been one of the better defenders in baseball at second base this season, thanks to Ron Washington. And overall, I mean, listen, it's not so much about how would Luis Arraez perform over Jazz at Yankee Stadium. I know all the stadium dimensions and how right field wouldn't play to his advantage because the right fielder would be in more. And because of that, Luis Urias wouldn't have as many bloop hits. I think a lot of times guys get very heavy analytical, which I used to myself as well, but I think there's some faults in it where they talk about a player in acquiring him as if, one, you're playing every single game at home. Two, as if you're acquiring this player to now become a 1-9 entirely of a lineup of all Luis Urias. Like, no, it's about how does the player complement the lineup. And the Yankees are still getting on base. I mean, last night, side note, obviously, but we do have to mention the fifth inning and how brutal that was. I mean, they load the bases with three straight singles. You had a, what was it, Rice, Goldschmidt, Bellinger, in some order. I think that was the order. Three straight singles, and then they don't come through. Jason, who we'll talk about, bad strikeout. Granted, that cutter was nasty, but I don't care. Volpe works a good at-bat for a minute. He ends up striking out. You had the Jazz pop it. I mean, look, take the Jazz at-bat right there. I mean, Jazz, first pitch pops out with bases loaded, one out at that time. And I know not all things are equal, but just fallacy to a predetermined outcome. Let's just say you slot in Luis Urias right there. Well, sure, if he flies out to right field right there, that gets the job done. And that's part of what Luis Urias' game that people push back on, be like, oh, well, what his singles are now are just going to turn into flyout to Yankee Stadium. Well, I sure as hell could have used a flyout last night with the bases loaded and one out. Nonetheless, not bashing on Jazz, just the principle of it. It's about how does it complement the team? What could this team use right now, which is a boost in offense? And also, what could this team use regardless, even things are possibly, not possibly, like, what could this team possibly use when things even are going well offensively? A guy in the postseason that hits with runners in scoring position. And Luis Urias, to me, not to keep harping on the same old thing. You guys know. You're either on board at this point or you're not. I want him. You may not. And I totally respect that. But bottom line is, whether it's him or somebody else, it seems like the Yankees are going to have to make an additional acquisition offensively besides just improving at the catcher position. Anyways, I do want to mention one thing about a continuing conversation with this offense where, listen, I don't think Jason Dominguez has done nearly enough. I mean, I don't want to say I don't think. It's not really up in the air. He hasn't done enough to capitalize on Judge's absence. We kind of talked about it a lot that this is now the time for, you know, you're going to get Jason in the lineup every single day, which he has been. He's going to get some run without Judge for at least a couple months. And by this point now, 39 games in total on this, since Judge went down, it's probably about 30 games. But nonetheless, he's hitting .229 with a .661 OPS, 82 WRC plus. And again, like, you'll see glimpses of where it's like Jason getting down to first insanely quick. You'll see glimpses of the athleticism, whatever you want to say, power. There's times where he does look quite promising. And we know Jason is promising. But bottom line is, at this point right now, he has not put it all together. He has not capitalized on Judge's absence. And that's another part of this to where, listen, I don't just look at Jason as some young and up-and-coming kid. Like, oh, play the kid. Like, let's see what he's got. Like, Jason, and still, as we have this very conversation going forward, but just talking in past tense for a second, has been, in my opinion, like somebody to count on while Judge has been down to be like, all right, need you to help carry the boats, or whatever David Goggins would say. He hasn't done that. He's been bad. And he's got to be better just for the team's sake, but also, too, who knows what his future holds? I mean, that was very much a part of that conversation. It was one, yeah, we just want to see the Yankees not be going completely into the gutter while Judge is out. Need guys to perform in his absence. So for that reason, and also, too, just for his career, what he's going to be going forward as a Yankee, like, there is a world where Jason Dominguez isn't a Yankee in 2 weeks. I mean, that really is very much the case. There were reports out there from, I forget what the, was it MLB Trade Rumors, or somebody put out that the Yankees are willing to part with Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones. I think that's like, yeah, obviously they would be. But like, who knows? And also, too, his value hasn't been helped by the last month or so of his play, not by any means. And this very well could go down the trajectory of something that we've talked about a lot on here with a lot of Yankee prospects, which is, if you don't capitalize on the value at a certain point, which doesn't mean you look to trade them, but if you don't capitalize on the value at some point, they're all going to go down, or many of them will go to that same road of getting some run, cup of coffee here and there. And to be fair to the Yankees, like, Jason has his chance right here to capitalize. He hasn't yet. But before you know it, they're 27 years old, and you end up DFAing. I don't think Jason Dominguez will ever be at a point where he's bad enough to where he gets DFA'd, but like, there will be a point where the Yankees don't regret trading on the value that they once had with Jason Dominguez, possibly. Same with Spencer Jones. And we could see that come to fruition as soon as this coming deadline, where they do trade one of those guys, or both, I don't know, and you don't get the value that you once could have. Nonetheless, Jason's got to be better. He hasn't been good. Almost everybody this offense. Rice continues just to look great at the plate. Very nice to see that his slump truly was just that. Like a two-week little, at the worst possible time with everybody else going cold, but that's baseball. I mean, he was slumping. That's fine. He's totally turned it around. Jazz, we talked about. Bellinger, a couple hits last night. Goldschmidt, he had a couple hits yesterday, too. Although, when you, I mean, that one at bat he had against, who was it, Vesia? One of those at bats again where Goldschmidt just looked his age again. Like the fastball, he just could not nearly catch up to. And granted, it wasn't even like a big heater or nothing. It was like a 94 mile an hour fastball. Alex Vesia apparently was unhittable last night. But yeah, I mean, the offense we know for obvious reasons has to be improved. And we've made our point by now that it's going to have to be more than just acquiring a catcher. What are the Yankees' deadline plans? And now that third box seems a lot more like, instead of just where it was before, I had it as like catcher, bullpen, and then additional. Then almost the third box to a degree almost felt not optional, but it was like, yo, you get me catcher, you get me bullpen. I want more, but like I'm kind of chilling. Not so much anymore. That third box now feels mandatory. You got to get some sort of other bat in here. And it could be something, probably will be, that we're not even thinking of. I want Luis Arraez. But nonetheless, offense continues to be a problem. And all three of these games were close. They really were. They really were. I mean, listen, take out the Duvall and Bird implosions, which at that point it was like, yo, these guys are on the roster for some reason. Bird not anymore. But listen, like Boone was going to them when we're losing. If he was going to those guys when we're winning, trying to maintain a lead at this point, like I'd be pissed. But it's like, what are you going to do? Anyways, besides those two performances, I mean, at the time it was a 3-1 game when Bird came in. Friday, Cole doesn't make a bad 3-2 pitch to Muncy or whatever it was, 2-2 pitch, 3-2 pitch to go ahead 2-run shot. And, you know, who knows what happens in that game. The pitching was very good for the most part this series. The bullpen did a great job. Cole, I mean, nonetheless, that's a great outing. 6 innings, 2 runs, and he looks probably the best he ever has all season long. That's very promising going into October this year. Cam, I thought his stuff looked sharp, but also the Dodgers just, you know, kept fouling pitches away like crazy. And it almost felt like we've seen a couple times now where, first things first, Cam does need to incorporate a changeup at some point. I mean, that feels obvious to say, so we'll just leave it there. But also, he almost felt a little bit hesitant to throw the fastball at times, like they're going to catch up on it. And Muncy certainly was it Muncy, I believe? I think it was Muncy. That was just fouling pitch after pitch off, and they all were. They were fastballs, to be fair. But then when he started to incorporate the curveball more, it felt like we were kind of just, you know, not stalling, but it was all of a sudden the game was starting to drag a little bit. He eventually gave it the 3 runs, but then afterwards he kind of was just pitching again and throwing the fastball, letting it rip, and he found success again. He did strike out 8. Not a good outing by Cam yesterday, but like I'm not looking at Cam as to why we lost yesterday. It's the offense. Like yesterday, I mean Sunday game one. And yesterday, if we lost Game 3and got swept, like that would have been on the offense too. Not Fernando Cruz, not anybody else, not how did the other oh no, just the one run, the Tommy Edman game tire. Like you would have been looking back at that 5th inning where they loaded the bases and did not score, bases loaded, nobody out. I mean, there was other situations like that, too, to where they've slipped my mind now, the exact examples. But throughout the series, I mean, there were so many times the Yankees did not capitalize with runners in scoring position. And that clearly is an issue that you address by acquisitions at the trade deadline, issues that you address by praying to God that Judge will come back. That is the plan. Going to be a bit, though. And also guys that are currently in the lineup, like Bellinger, like Goldschmidt, like Jason. Rice has been good, but continue to be good. Did I mention Jazz? Grisham at times, too. I mean, Grisham has been fine offensively. He really did piss me off on Friday, but we've made our peace with that. So, yeah, that's the series, like, recap, I guess. Yankees do drop 2 out of 3, but if you're just looking at the Rays, they do gain ground in the AL East. They're now just a game and a half back entering Monday. 3-game set against the Pirates, which we are going to be missing the Pirates. We are going to be missing Paul Skeens in this series. It's going to be, let's see, what was the pitching matchups coming into this series? It's, Game 1 tonight, right-hander Braxton Ashcraft, who's 9-3 with a 3.49 versus Weathers. Weathers was supposed to pitch Saturday night. He gets pushed back to today because the rainout doubleheader, whatever. Holgo, he's 3-7, 4.15 against Ashcraft. 7 o'clock on Yes. Game 2, Tuesday, 7 o'clock on Yes. Right-hander Bubba Chandler, 3-8 with a 4.77 versus Will Warren, who had started to put a couple decent outings together before the All-Star break. He's 7-4, 4.03. And then Game 3, Wednesday afternoon on Yes, right-hander Mitch Keller versus Garrett Cole. So Yankees-Pirates, that'll finish out a homestand coming up. And then we have the Pirates coming to town. Not the Pirates. What am I saying, bro? We're going to the freaking Philly. We're going to Philadelphia is what we're doing. So yeah, like I was just going through the motions there because I was reading through my my report. And I'm just like, let me repeat exactly what I just said. That's a brilliant plan. Anyways, some injury updates. Judge, obviously, enough healing. No, healed the rib is healing, but not enough to begin upper body workouts. However, Judge was very optimistic when talking about it, and he was asked, will you be back this season? And he said definitively, yes, I definitely will be back. Why wouldn't I be? Maybe he'll be at 80%, but my biggest concern was that the rib would not be healed at all. It is showing healing. You don't want to rush this because, God forbid, you do. All of a sudden, you aggravate it more. You get a setback. Then we're really in trouble. We got to play this smart. And the Yankees obviously are. They're not idiots. But it's going to be a bit. We know that. We've talked with that. Judge, the expectation still is for him to come back. Max Fried, this is going to be soon. He might have just one more rehab start. One more rehab start, which the next one is on Wednesday. And by that point, he's probably built up to like 70-something pitches. Yanks will see if he's going to be back. Or Yanks will decide if he'll be back the game after that, just in the big leagues. So rehab start on Saturday, pitch at AAA, threw about 50 pitches. Wednesday, he's going to pitch again. Rehab start, probably about 65 to 70 pitches. By the next start, he'd be built up to maybe like 80, 85 plus. They might just activate him to the big league club, which if so, would mean a late July return. So like possibly next week, we could see Max Fried. That is very much on the table. Carlos Rodon threw a bullpen or 10-pitch live session. He's expected to throw a bullpen this week. Probably looking at an early August return for him. Giancarlo Stanton has started running progression. No timetable yet, though. Clark Schmidt threw an inning of live BP on Saturday, and he's expected to return late August, probably early September. And he says he's open to relieving, starting. It would probably be out of the bullpen. So there's that, but that's much welcomed. So, yeah, Fried back soon. Rodon probably early August. Stanton, who knows, but he's expected back at some point this season, too. He might be like September. I mean, who knows with Stanton? And I love you, Stan. I just, you know, it is getting frustrating, no doubt. And then, yeah, we'll be seeing Clark Schmidt at some point this season, too. Lombard has come off the IL. He's looked good. He homered in his first game back from the IL at AAA. And he is very much, I think, a factor this season. We talk about, I don't think the Yankees will acquire a shortstop at the trade deadline. I just don't. I mean, some people talk about C.J. Abrams. Or like, Jeremy Payne would interest me a lot more than C.J. Abrams. I don't think they'll be able to get Payne from the Astros. And C.J. Abrams, like, the defense isn't good. Like, that concerns me a lot. And I'm curious what the Packers would have to be to get C.J. Abrams. His bat is great. Anyways, I think the Yankees shortstop come October is currently on the roster. Obviously, that would mean either Caballero or Volpe. It would be Caballero. I'm a full belief at this point because the Yankees have shown in big games they're playing Caballero over Volpe under the right circumstances, doubleheaders aside and all that. But that could also factor in George Lombard Jr. And Brian Cashman did say in his postgame or pregame press or whatever it was before the Tampa Bay series finale that George Lombard is possibly going to be a factor in the second half. If I had to guess right now, I think Lombard is up. That's just like my, don't do nothing with that, just like my inner gut, just speaking out loud, thinking out loud. I have a feeling, I think George Lombard Jr. will be called up at some point in the second half this year. And he is hitting very well at AAA. And we got to think about, like, when a prospect has talent, has the skills, and you're just waiting for everything to kind of like come to fruition, where it just clicks. Once it clicks, all right, then you are big league ready. We know the glove is big league ready. The bat, Yankees have been waiting to see it. Double A, he raked, gets promoted to Triple A, and just like Judge, countless other guys, struggled initially. But look at the last like 30 to 40 games at Triple A, much better. He actually been hitting at a really nice clip, getting on base, scouts like what they're seeing. Again, comes back from the IL, homers in his return to Triple A. Like, if he's there, he's there. By there, I mean ready offensively all of a sudden. Like, once that's the case, bang, you trust the glove, bring him up, especially when you probably do have a need at shortstop. But you can't bank on that as well with like getting Ryan Jeffers, let's say, Judge returning, and then George Lombard Jr. Like, can't look at George Lombard Jr. as the savior. He might be a better option, but the Yankees really do need to, again, consider multiple bats at the trade deadline. Let's see. Anything else from the past little bit? Want to just make sure I keep shouting out Brent Hedrick. He's been great. The bullpen overall has been really solid. Blackburn remains exceptional. Bednar's been doing his thing. I mean, I guess we kind of talked about it at this point. Cruz, no love lost, although definitely don't want him to be the only option that we can go to in the eighth inning come October. I mean, that's the thing. The bullpen ERA is really good, and no doubt about it. The Yankees have created a bullpen this year, but it needs more. It needs more depth. It needs more options, whether somebody gets hurt or just there's times where you do put in Cruz, and he looks like the best pitcher on the planet, and there's also times where this is kind of like the case and tale with relievers more often than not, but then there's times where you put him in, and you just walk in the world, and it's just clear that he doesn't have it, and that'll happen. You got to make sure you're planned for, you prepare for that. Prepare for injuries, adversity, whatever it may be. Like, things are going very well with the bullpen right now. If all works out, yeah, the bullpen sure is good enough. When does everything exactly just work out according to plan? You just have to get relievers, and they know that. But the bullpen has been good. Credit where it's due. Shout out to Jazz. Let's see, anything else from the weekend? Volpe's not hitting. The defense has been fine. He's still getting on base, a nice little clip. Wells looked like he changed his stance again. Whatever. I think that's about it. Yo. I thought the defense was good this series against the Dodgers. And obviously, the sun plays aside. The defense I thought was pretty good. There's no issues there. And it should be good with McMahon back at third, Grisham in center. Unless I'm forgetting something, there wasn't any defensive issues. Double plays were turned just fine. Again, outside of the plays where the sun was clear. And that affected the Dodgers, too. Andy Páez dropped the ball in center field because of the sun on Sunday morning. But, yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at with this whole thing. Yankees do drop 2 out of 3. They do gain ground, though, in the American League East. And, yeah, the 1.5 back entering play tonight. I think that's going to do it for this episode, yo. Pirates in town, 3-game set to wrap up the homestand. And then, yeah, we're on the clock, yo. 2 weeks from today is the MLB trade deadline, August 3rd at 6 p.m. And there is much work to be done. Click like on the stream if you do not mind. It does help out a great deal. The Morning Yankees Show, we're live, of course, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. here on YouTube. We're also available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And, yeah, Yankee Recaps are back after every single series. There's a new one out right now. They're about 10 minutes quick to the point. Consolidated videos that come out after every series. New one is out. Dropped it late last night. And then, yeah, we're live once per series. We'll probably be live tonight for the series opener against the Pirates for a watch party. If not one of these series, we will be. Anyways, that'll be this episode. Hope you all have a great start to your week. Happy Monday. And I'll see you guys next time. Till then, let's go Yanks.